Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's take just a few moments to pray for each other.
我们还是静默片刻, 然后我们为彼此祈祷开始。
One for Malia, I'd like to reflect this morning on listening.
今天上午我们一起要反省的就是聆听。
Listening can be a powerful force for healing.
我们说聆听是一个强有力的，或是一个是对我们的治愈是有力的，是强有力的。
And it can make a huge difference in bringing a community together.
这也是把我们的团体凝聚在一起的方法之一。
It is only through listening that bonds of charity can truly form among the members of a community.
也就是说只有我们透过真实的聆听才能把我们团体的每一位成员凝聚在一起。
And so it is important for us to learn to listen well.
对我们每一个人来说, 学习聆听, 学习很好的聆听, 这个都是非常重要的。
I would like you to reflect for a moment on a time that someone listened to you well.
大家就想想看, 当你, 别人聆听, 就是很好的, 或是专心的聆听你的时候, 那这个过程呢, 我们也想想自己怎么样能够聆听好别人。 怎么很好地聆听别人。
As you reflect on your experience, let's make a list. What are the qualities of a good listener?
当我们就是用了一点时间想想我们自己怎么聆听别人的时候，我们想想看，就是在聆听的过程中，它包含什么样的特质，或是有什么样的特点。
How would you describe a good listener?
如果你去描述一下，这个是一个很好的聆听者，你说他具有什么样的特质？ 或是这个里边都包含什么？
Maybe we could, if you write down five qualities of a good listener, and then we can make a list together as well.
我们可以就是想一想啊, 我们每一个人可以写差不多就是五个左右。 这个我们说聆听的品质, 然后呢, 我们一会儿就大家把我们每个人总结的就是一起列出来。 你去描述一下一个好的聆听者, 他具有哪些品质和特点。 现在让我们就是思考一下啊。我们说好的一个聆听者，他具有的品质或者是特点是有什么呢？大家想起来了？
Is prayerful.
Uh-huh. Good.
Do you want to make a list there and they can see?
Now we're rolling here.
心看重，心重。
稍慢一点啊，要不然我不知道怎么记了。
信任。
Trust.
Trustworthy.
Trustworthy.
不随便。
No judgment.
Uh-huh.
刚才那修女还说什么来着？我没记住的。啊？
Empathetic.
Yes, empathetic.
自己的心态不要停。
什么？我没听懂。
平常心，这个聆听的看的有一个自己的好的心态吧。
平常心吧。
Healthy outlook.
Positive outlook?
Yes, positive. I mean positive outlook.
Uh-huh. Yeah, good. Mm-hmm.
你是意思叫做平常心？没什么记。
Sincere, uh-huh.
安静
quiet.
Uh-huh.
Yes, no interruption. How to describe this kind of...doesn't involve and interrupt it.
No interruptions.
No interruptions.
Discernment.
认识自己及他人。
Know yourself, knowledge.
Uh-huh. Maybe compassionate?
Yes, a compassionate.
Helpful.
Helpful.
And help others. How to describe this kind of situation? The person can help others.
Mm-hmm.
How about this
course?
Helpful.
That's fine.
And if anybody in the back is awake and would like to make a suggestion. Ask if anybody in the back is awake and would like to make a suggestion.
神父就是你们最后一排的人好像几乎没怎么说话。这样的神父让你们起来可以提一些问题或是给一些建议。因为很少能听到你们最后一排的声音。Okay,
this is your... There's one over here.
Okay, go ahead.
关注和理解关怀。
Concentration is over there.
Okay.
Understand others.
Uh-huh.
刚才修女提了三个关注理解
关怀
什么？刚才修女说什么？我没听见。
敏于观察。
Observe. It's sensible. It's very sensible to observe.
Sensitive.
Sensitive, yes.
Observant.
Yes.
Got that up there.
Very easy person to get along with.
Easygoing?
Easygoing.Accept personal limits.
Uh-huh.
第三个是什么呀，修女？
不解决问题。
不解决问题是吧？
不解决问题，是陪伴者。
It's not solve problem. Just
as a be there.
Not to what?
It's not to solve
problems.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Good. Wonderful.
Very stable emotions.
Uh-huh. Emotionally stable. So, would everybody here like to be a good listener?
我们在座的，你们觉得谁是一个比较好的聆听者吗？觉得自己是吗？You are a great listener. They said you.
Me?
Yes. Oh. Except you. 什么除他之外？
Well, this is what we can all strive for. All of us need to become more of this.
我们每一位都努力地朝着这个目标努力。
So your homework is to become this person.
我们就是叫家庭作业一样，就是我们的任务就是什么呢？努力成为一个这样的人，努力成为我们刚才在黑板上所描述的具有这些品质的人。
It is good to reflect on how closely we follow this list.
当然我们也就是看看。我们和描述的这些品质的距离是越来越近，有多近，或是有多远？
We can make an examination of conscience from this list and ask ourselves at the end of the day, have I been a good listener?
也就是在一天结束的时候，我们可以就问自己，我这一天，或者说我的生活里，刚才我们所描述的作为一个好的聆听者所有的品质还相差多远。
And we can ask Jesus each day to make us a better listener.
也就是说基督会帮助我们每天都会离我们所描述的好的聆听者我们就是走近越来越接近于好的聆听者因为基督会帮助我们。
The good news is that Jesus likes to answer that prayer.
我们说好消息就是基督会帮助我们回答或是回应我们的祈祷。
The challenge, however, is that in order to answer that prayer, Jesus will have to give us some challenges.
就是为了更好的让基督为了就是回应我们向他提出的这些个请求啊，那当然基督在这个问题上也向我们提出挑战。
But if we take every if we take the opportunity every day to try and listen like this, we will grow steadily into a very good listener.
如果我们每天你都用这样一个机会来逐渐的我们去操练刚才我们描述的这些个德行或是品质的话，可能我们慢慢的就会成为一个好的聆听者。
We can reflect for a moment on how Jesus listened.
那我们也可以想一想，看耶稣是怎么样聆听的。
Of course, this is a wonderful picture of who Jesus is.
当然了，我们说基督的形象是一个对我们来说是一个非常好的一个榜样。
And we should be confident that whenever we pray, Jesus is always listening to us, like with these qualities.
当然，我们就是有信心的去相信，我们每次祈祷的时候，基督都是有具有这些品质的一个聆听者在聆听我们。
We experience that through faith. It can be a little bit obscure, but this is the truth. Jesus listens like this.
当然，我们说用信仰的眼光去看，可能我们感觉啊，耶稣聆听我们具有这些品质的话，听起来比较抽象。但事实上呢，基督就是在用这种方式聆听我们。
We don't have any examples in the gospel of Jesus sitting down with someone and listening to that person for hours.
当然在福音中没有记述说耶稣坐到那儿了，然后用一个小时或是两个小时去聆听谁来对他的，或是聆听别人，没有这样的描述。
Everything is a little bit more concise in the Gospels.
但在福音中所描述的这些故事都是非常的具体，而且很精准的一些场景。
But we still get the sense of how Jesus listened, the quality of his listening.
当然，那我们就可以去体会那耶稣在聆听的过程中他所具有的这种特点。
He probably listened the most to the apostles because he was with them the most.
那可能我们说他聆听的最多的就是他的宗徒们，因为他们一直都和耶稣在一起。
And we see the result of that. He really knew his apostles.
因为这个结果就是什么呢？因为基督非常了解他的宗徒们或是门徒们。
And he really loved them.
耶稣也真真实实的爱他们。
He understood their weaknesses. He understood their desires.
他理解他们的软弱，同时他也理解他们的渴望。
He always listened in a deeper way so that he could hear their hearts.
耶稣聆听他们都是一种非常深的，我们就一种就深度的聆听，因为他愿意理解他们的心。
And then we can think of some of Jesus' experiences, for example, with the Samaritan woman at the well.
大家想想，可以看耶稣就是他聆听的例子，就是在和撒玛利亚妇人在井旁的这个聆听的片段。
So John chapter 4.
在若望福音的第四章。
At the end of his encounter with this woman,She said to everyone, "He told me everything I ever did."
那这个妇女说什么呢？她告诉了我，我以前做过的所有的事情。
He listened to her in a way that she felt deeply understood.
She felt.
因
为这个撒玛利亚妇女呢，她就是非常确认，她是被基督。以深深的理解所聆听。
And that experience changed her life.
也就是这样的一个经验改变了她的生活。
We can also think about Jesus' encounter with Martha and Mary.
我们也可以再想想就是耶稣和玛利亚、马尔大他们的相遇。
Jesus,heard something deeper in Martha's question.
那也在这个场景也一样，耶稣也是听到了马尔大他深层次的这个
something deeper than just the surface level of her question.
Okay, 因为他理解的马尔大是他。内心深处的一个渴望，而不只是说他就是说在服务啊怎么样，不是这些，是他内心深处的渴望。
Jesus heard that Martha was anxious and troubled about many things.
因为耶稣听到了，或是理解他，这个马尔大有很多的担心和焦虑。
Jesus also praised the quality of Mary's listening.
在这个时候呢，耶稣就赞美玛利亚的祈祷，玛利亚的这种聆听的方法。
It's wonderful to think about having all of these qualities of a good listener when we go before God in prayer.
所以也就是说呢，作为一个聆听者，那就是说呢，你需要有在天主面前祈祷的这样一个品质。
Do we listen to God with patience and compassion and understanding?
那我们能不能用耐心、理解和一种有同情心的方法去聆听天主对我们所说的话？
It seems that Martha's sister Mary can teach us this.
我们看这个，我们说这个马尔大的玛利亚，我们说这个她的妹妹可以教给我们这一点，用什么样的方法聆听天主？
You can reflect on that story in Luke chapter 10.
我们也可以从路加福音里边，路加福音的第十章里边。
We can also think of the story of the paralyzed man who was let down from the roof on a stretcher.
就是路加福音第十章里边描述那个瘫痪的病人从房顶上把床放下来这个故事。
They asked him to heal this paralyzed man.
那他们邀请耶稣呢治愈这个瘫痪的人。
But Jesus listened more deeply to his need, which was for forgiveness of sins.
那耶稣聆听的是他深层次的渴望，就是这个罪过的赦免。
And then we already prayed with the, oh, that's in Mark chapter 2.
Mark
chapter
2. 这是在马尔古福音的第二章里边提到的另外的。
And then we already prayed with the passage from Mark chapter 10 about the blind man.
还有马尔古福音第十章里边，瞎子的这个故事。
It's very interesting to note that Jesus asks him a question, "What do you want?"
那在这几个故事里边，耶稣提到了，就是问他们，你需要。我为你做什么？
One of the qualities that you listed for a good listener is someone who's not just solving problems.
也就是说，一个好的聆听者，他不只是说来解决问题。
Jesus did not ask this man what he wanted because he was looking for information. Jesus knew what he wanted.
其实呢，耶稣就是没有问他说你想要得到什么样的消息呢？但是耶稣知道他想要什么。
But he knew that for that man to be open to receive the gift, that man had to be able to express his desire.
因为他自己的需要，那耶稣就是邀请他去表达出来你自己需要什么。
And so he gave him the chance to make that act of faith and express his desire to see.
也就是说呢，耶稣给他这样的机会，让他表达出他的信仰。也就是说呢，他内心的渴望就是用信仰来表达他去，渴望能够看到。
One of the temptations we can have, especially with our sisters in community, is to think,I already know what she needs.
我们说一个在我们团体中的诱惑是什么呢？别人还没说呢，你就说我知道你需要什么。
And you might be right. You might know exactly what she needs.
那有可能你知道她真正的需要什么。
You might also be wrong. You might not understand what she needs.
但是呢，也有可能你 不知道或者说你认为知道的他需要东西，你理解的是错的。
In either case, the best approach is to ask the question and let the sister share what she thinks she needs.
也就是说，这样的方法告诉我们呢，就是说你去让这位修女去表达她需要的是什么。
Sometimes she might start sharing about one thing, but as she shares, she starts to discover what she really needs.
他可能会向你，比如说向你跟你分享一件事情，那在这个分享的过程中，他可能自己就发现了究竟他需要什么。
And even though you might have understood already what she needs, she needed to get to that point on her own.
也就是说，哪怕就是说你已经知道了他需要的是什么，那也就是借着这样的一个分享，他慢慢的就是找到了他自己真正需要的是什么。
We can also think of the way that Jesus listened to the good thief on the cross.
我们也可以想到啊，就是在十字架上，耶稣聆听诱道的这样一个例子。
It's an amazing example because Jesus is suffering so much.
我们想想，在十字架上的耶稣是受多大的痛苦。
And in his suffering, he's always thinking about everyone else.
他就在巨大的痛苦中也依然想到的是别人。
He is able to set aside his own pain and forgive everyone.
他把他自己的痛苦放到一边，而去原谅那些人，去原谅别人。
And he is able to set aside his own pain and take care of his mother.
也就是说把他的痛苦先放到一边，在这个过程中呢，他要考虑到怎么样去照顾自己的母亲。
And he is even able to set aside his own pain and hear the cry of the good thief.
也就是他把自己的痛苦放到一边，去聆听诱盗所发出的呼喊。
The good thief says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
那诱盗对耶稣说，说主啊，当你进入你的天国的时候，请纪念我。
Jesus heard the faith in that man's cry.
那耶稣听到了这个向他呼喊的人的信德。
He heard the love and the trust that that man expressed.
他听到了这个诱导所表达的信任和爱。
And he was able to say,Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
那耶稣回答他什么？那今天你就要和我一起到天国。
I know that it was very painful for Jesus to expend all of that energy to interact with that man.
所以我们想想看，就是耶稣在十字架上的这个过程，他是用他整个的生命的这个全部的精力都在回答和这个和诱导他们两个，这不有类似有对话吗？
But I believe it was also a blessing for Jesus to see the impact of his suffering and to see one man set free.
那我们也可以看到，就是在这样一个这个事例中，那耶稣他的影响，用他的痛苦使得另外一个人得到了自由。
And I believe that we will always be blessed whenever we take the time to listen.
那当然，这个对我们来说，对我们每一个人来说，当你用时间去聆听别人的时候，对我们本身就是一个祝福。
It's also worth noting that here again, Jesus could not tell this man he was saved.Until that man realized his need to be saved.
值得注意的是什么呢？耶稣没有告诉这个人，就说什么时候你才是应该被救的时候，他没有告诉他这些。
And this is important to realize, especially for those of you who are very intelligent and insightful.
Can you repeat the whole part? Jesus said.Jesus said, it's a time for you to be saved or not. on the cross.
Jesus, it wasn't possible for him to say it until that man realized his need and expressed it.
Okay.
Jesus had to listen before he could speak.
我们就刚才就是说确认这点啊，就是基督在十字架上的时候，他没有就直接告诉那个人说好，你跟我吧，你得救吧，没有告诉这一点，而是就是等待着他呢，把他自己这种内在的渴望表达出来，那耶稣就告诉他，你今天和我一起到乐园，是这样意思。
So this is very important for those of you who are very intelligent and insightful and have the answers. Sometimes they can't be given until the person realizes the need.
Okay. 这个对我们来说，我们在座的都非常聪明，而且有很多自己不同的这个智慧。那这个也就是告诉我们什么呢？我们当别人向你去倾诉的时候，你可能也有很多的答案在你的心里。那在这个过程就是让我们呢，就是去等待着，当那个找你就和你谈话的人，他把他内在东西表达出来之后，就是给别人时间去表达，然后你这个时候就知道了他真正需要的是什么。
Another amazing example is the way that Jesus listens to those who are attacking him, like the Pharisees and the scribes.
那我们就想想，当那些个就是攻击耶稣的人，就是我们讲法律赛人呢，以及经师们呢，那耶稣是怎么样聆听这些人的
？He is able to speak to their complaints and give the right explanation because he really listened to them.
那当法律赛人和经师去向耶稣抱怨什么的时候，那耶稣呢也是一直。在聆听他们，同时呢，就是给他们一种正确的方法来解释。
And he is always listening and speaking to them in a way that is trying to bring about their conversion.
那耶稣的聆听呢，就是聆听他们，同时呢，就是把他们的问题一直就是用聆听和speaking and.
Listening and speaking.
耶稣也对他们讲，同时也听他们，一直等待他们的皈依。
We know that Jesus is the divine teacher, but before he starts teaching, he's always listening to the needs of those who are he's speaking to.
那我们知道，耶稣是天主，就是在他们这些人还没有说的时候，那耶稣就是一直在等待着。听他们想说的。
So he speaks differently to the crowds than he does to the apostles, than he does to the priests and Pharisees.
那当然，耶稣所讲出来的话不同于群众，不同于经师和法利赛人。
Another beautiful description of the way that God listens to us.Is in Psalm 139.
我们另外一个就是天主聆听我们的非常我们说美妙的这样一个画面，就是在圣咏中。
Psalm.
Maybe someone could read that.
Psalm.
Just the first four verses.
Okay.
我们圣咏的139首的第一到四节，我们。找到这个章节读一下。
Just put that anywhere. It'll be fine.
找到了，就读一下。先找到了，139首，一到第四节。
大卫的诗歌。交与乐官，
开了，是开了，开了，你就离得近点就可以。
是，上主，你监察了我，也认清了我，我或坐或立，你全然认清了我。你由远处已明彻我的思考，我或行走或躺卧，你已先知。 我的一切行动你完全熟悉，的确我的舌头尚未发言，上主看你已经知悉周全。
This is a beautiful psalm to return to when, especially when we feel that God is distant.
这是一个非常好的我们圣咏的章节，当有时候我们感到天主离我们远的时候。
It reminds us of how much God loves us and understands us and how he listens to us.
这个呢帮助我们去理解天主是怎么样理解我们，怎么样爱我们。怎么样就是亲近我们。
Pope Francis had a beautiful description of listening in his message for the World Day of Communication 2 years ago.
两年前啊，教宗方济各有就是在叫世界
Communication Day，
世界我们叫传媒日，世界传媒日的时候。教宗有一个讲话。
Maybe we could have someone read this.
看我们哪一位修女，你们读一下，就刚才这一段。
上面那一段。
做到聆听并不容易，很多时候装聋作哑更容易得罗了。聆听意味着给予关注，想要了解，去重视，去尊重，并深入思考他人所说的话。我们可能要受一些折磨或做出自我牺牲，如果我们试着去仿效那在焚烧的荆棘丛前的美色，当我们与那和我们说话的那位相遇，我们得把脚上的鞋脱下，因为我们所站的地方是圣地。知道如何聆听是一项巨大的恩宠，我们必须为获得其恩赐祈求，并尽全力加以运用。慈悲是存在每人心底的基本定律。
第一，我们不念下面，就上面这一个。
I love the description that Pope Francis uses, that listening involves a sort of martyrdom.
这一段呢是教宗就是描述了，神父说我很喜欢这一段，就像有一种致命精神一样。我们说这个聆听就有一种类似像致命的一样的精神。
When we set aside our own needs and we open ourselves to receive another in listening.There's a kind of dying that happens in us.
当我们把自己的需要放到一边，而用时间呢，就是去聆听别人的需要的时候，那其实有时候在某种程度上，可能就是像一种死亡的那种过程一样。
At the same time, there is a new life that rises up in us as we realize God is present in the person who is speaking.
也就是在这个过程中呢，我们也意识到了一个新的生命正在诞生。那也就是这个新的生命的诞生，就是天主借着我们的临在，这个新生命而出现的。
So as Pope Francis says, this is an immense grace and a gift that we need to ask for.
这就是说我们说人从需要从天主那儿去祈求的恩宠。
When we realize that God is present in the person who is speaking to us, it really helps us to listen.
当我们如果意识到这个人正在和你谈话的人，他天主也临在这个人身上的时候，你就能够聆听他。
That helps us to be respectful and humble.
同时呢，这样也会帮助我们能够以一种尊重和谦卑的态度去聆听。
And when we are in the presence of God, we are less likely to think we have all the answers.
当我们意识到自己在天主的临在面前的时候，你就会想想看，我们不一定有答案，因为天主会有答案。
Here is a little principle for you about listening.
这有一些个就是关于聆听的基本原则。
The less we think we know, the better we will listen.
也就是说呢，你少一点认为你自己知道，已经知道了，但是呢，更好的方法就是说呢，那你多一点聆听。
We will not listen well if we have already started to formulate all the answers and we are just waiting for the person to finish so that we can tell them everything.
也就是说呢，在这个过程，你要等着这个和说话的人，他要把他所讲的话讲完。
And we have to remember that the more we let the person say, the more that it creates a space in them to receive anything we have to offer.
也就是说，你越给这个讲话的人更大的空间，让他去讲出来他想表达的，那也就是说，你越能够创造出来一个，
Okay, how about this, the second part? Is it more space?
So even if we have something good to say,
yeah.
A person can't hear it until they have spoken. So when they speak, it creates a space in them to hear what we can tell them.
Okay. 也就是说你给这个对方更多的空间去表达他想表达的。那这样的话就是有助于帮助我们这个聆听者。
And,
你能够有、okay.
I'm not very...clear the second part. You can give the speaker more time, more space to express what she wants to say. And how about the listener? The listener to, I didn't catch.
Well, the listener is going to respond eventually.
Okay.
然后你给他更多的空间让他表达的时候，然后呢，在这个时候你才能够回应他。
But a lot of times, when we want to tell someone something, there's so much emotion and confusion that they can't hear what we need to tell them.
因为很多时候啊，我们就有这样一个问题什么呢？当别人跟你谈的时候，你就觉得，哎呀，这个有一种那种很不耐烦的情绪，有一种那种抗拒的这种心理。所以呢，这个时候呢，你就觉得我已经有答案了，要给你了。
But if we give that person a chance to speak and to share her heart, then it opens up a space that we can speak to them in response.
当就说，也就像刚才重复的一样，如果你给对方更多的时间和给他空间去表达他想说的时候，那这个时候呢，你再开始回应他。这个之后你再回应。
Another valuable principle for us in listening.
就是另外一个我们说是非常有价值的聆听，关于聆听的原则。
As much as possible, if we let a person come to a realization by herself, it will take more root in her heart. It will be more effective. Let me see if I can just describe this in a different way. Many times we have an idea that we... many times we think we know what is best for someone.
因为很多时候啊，我们自己都会认为什么呢？哎，我给你的这个建议或是方法是最好的。
But maybe you've had the experience of telling someone what is best for her, and she just can't hear it.
你会告诉人家，我告诉你这个方法是最好的。但是呢，这个跟你说话的人，他并不能听不进去你这些话的。
But if you listen to her and she comes to realize that on her own, then she'll never forget it.
如果她自己去分享她想说的话，那她可能就慢慢慢慢意识到了我到底真正需要什么。所以像这种场景的话，比如你给她的答案，她就不会忘了。
Because it's not enough for me to say something to another person. That person needs to be able to take it into her heart.
也就是说呢，你比如说我们要说什么，哎，这我对你说这个啊，你得这个样子，这个样子。其实那就这个过程，它就是很难，不是那么容易的。马上就觉得我就吸收了你刚才告诉我的这些东西。
And that happens most effectively if she is able to discover it on her own.
那这种方法就是怎么样更容易呢？也就是说，你跟他说的这些之没说之前，就是你听他说，然后慢慢慢慢，他就能够发现，他自己用自己的方法去发现，哎，这种方法是最好的。
After listening to someone, there are many times that I have an idea that will, I think, will help them.
你当聆听了别人之后，你才有一些个想法或是一些新的。思想你能对他有所帮助。
But instead of simply saying that, I will ask instead, what do you think would help you?
那这个过程呢，就是什么？你聆听他，远远的比你跟他说你认为我对你说什么能够帮助你，比这个要好。
For example, at the beginning of our time today, instead of telling you all of these qualities,I asked you to tell me these qualities.
所以就像刚开始一样，那天神父就说，他没有直接告诉我，说我告诉你们啊，好的聆听者有什么样品质，一二三。神父没有这么做，而是让问大家，你们想想有什么样的，这个品质作为好的聆听者。
And I will guess that during lunch, if you try to think about what you learned this morning, the first thing that will come to you is the five qualities that you wrote down.
所以我们就想想看，如果比如说像目前的神父这种方法，可能到比如说午饭的时候，我们就想想看，比如说列出了五个聆听者需要有的品质的话，可能那个时候你们早就有答案了。
So it's good for us to learn from this experience when we are listening to someone else.
这就是呢，我们学习的一个方法。当你去聆听别人的时候，你去问你需要的是什么。
We mentioned in our qualities of listening the importance of trust and compassion and being non-judgmental.
我们因为已经就提到了啊，我们作为一个聆听者，你要有同情心，你要就是值得信任，同时呢，不是以判断的这样一个口气在跟别人讲话，是不判断。
And to summarize this, I think of the importance of making a safe place, a holy place.
也就是说让我们这个聆听能够实现的话，也就是在这个过程中我们要营造一个我们就是说安全和神圣的这样的一个空间和气，或是这个空间吧。
Because especially when someone is sharing her heart, it really is something holy.
我们说当一个人能够跟你去分享他内心的东西的话，那这个过程我们就叫这叫神圣的，这个时刻就是一个神圣的时刻。
That person is letting me into the sanctuary in her heart.
也就是说这个人他渴望你可以圣化他的心灵。
And then if I react in a bad way, if I laugh or I express disgust, I can really hurt that person.
你比如说当人家就是跟你分享他心灵的内心的时候，你觉得哎呦好可笑啊，然后你又是觉得可笑，又是觉得哎呀这个故事讲的我听起来真恶心。但这个就是就是我们就是说话的这个人是非常受伤害的。
So we want to learn real reverence when we are listening.
所以说当我们去聆听别人的时候，你就怀着一种尊重的心去聆听对方。
At the same time, when I listen to someone, I need to let that person into my heart.
我们从另一个方面讲，就是当你聆听别人的时候，我们不说你首先就是进入了人家的内心吗？那也就是对方，你也允许对方进入到你的心里。
So the one who is speaking is vulnerable, but the one who listens is also vulnerable.
也就是在这个过程中啊，聆听者和被聆听的人，两个人就是内心都比较，我们就是说很容易受到攻击的。
When we
都相对我们就是内心都比较，这就是很软、很脆弱的这样一个过程。
And this is, we describe this with terms like empathy and compassion. We are moved, we experience something inside of ourselves when someone speaks.
所以这个过程呢，就是让我们讲的那个同理心啊，就是同情心呢，因为当我们说这个讲话的人和聆听者两个人在彼此就是这个聆听和被聆听的过程，两个人的心都是打开的。所以为什么这两个打开的心就是都容易受伤呢？
And so I like the description of we can really become sensitive to the presence of God.
那另外也就是这个过程就提醒我们要对天主临在敏感于天主的临在。
I like the description of being prayerful or being open to the Holy Spirit.
也就是说我们需要有祈祷和向天主圣神开放的这样一个胸怀。
So we are open to the person in front of us and we are also open to God at the same time.
我们向前来对我们倾诉的人开放，同时我们也向天主开放。
And I want to say a little bit more, but why don't we take a break?
Okay.
Just take a...
Now or later?
Yeah, let's take a little break now. And,
okay.
And then...
那我们现在休息15分钟，到10点。
You demonstrate true Christian charity. It's wonderful.
这是神父跟大家说啊，说你看刚才因为我们就像跟大家商量，马上你们就表现出来我们说这个基督徒团体的爱德。
I'd like to just say a few more words about listening.
我们现在呢就是再谈一下聆听。
I love this insight from Pope Francis about the way that mercy wells up in our hearts when we look sincerely into the eyes of our brothers and sisters.
教宗方济哥描述的就是你用那种爱的眼睛对你对你聆听的兄弟姐妹的那个情感，就这一段啊，神父说非常喜欢教宗方济哥描述的这一段。
Do you want to just read that? Can happen if we have a really open attitude when we listen.
我们说这种情况呢，只有在我们真正的对一个向你倾诉的人开放的时候，这些情况才可能发生。
mercy naturally flows into our hearts.
也就是说这种我们说慈悲啊或者说这种仁慈的这种情怀是发自你内心的一个自然流露。
And this helps us to, with another principle of listening.
这个呢和我们要谈的关于聆听的另外的一个原则是非常有帮助的，有助于另外一个关于聆听的一个基本原则。
Sometimes there's a phrase that's attributed to Saint Francis, preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words.
这就像圣方济哥提到的啊，你说宣讲福音的话，就是用那些个正是我们用我们真正需要的福音的词句。
And I like to adjust that phrase just a little bit and say, listen always, and only when necessary, use words.
就是在福音中，比如说描述的这个啊，为什么说有些这个词就是正好是恰如其分的，就是必须的词，就是说你在聆听的时候。
What is the gospel passage? Listen always. Listening is always.
That's what I say.
Yes.
也就是说你时刻都需要去聆听，这是就福音中，比如说在给我们讲的时候，就讲这个恰恰的，就这几个词我们需要记住的。
And in fact, sometimes if we are honest, we just don't have any words.
如果说我们比较真诚或是诚实的去看待自己的话，那可能你觉得你其他的就是类似就多余的词是不需要的。
Some people experience really horrible situations.
比如说当有些人去跟你描述那种比较恐怖的就是比较痛苦的或是就比较这个事情就听起来挺可怕的。
There are many times that I say to people, that's a terrible situation and I'm so sorry.I can see how much you're suffering.
可能那个时候我们
We should say that.
As many times I do say that. Yeah,
yes.
I have no other words.
Yeah, 因为就是当别人跟你说这些的时候，那神父就说他自己的经验什么的，我没说别的，也只是说，哎呀，说我也觉得就是特别难过啊，说你经历了这样的一个过程，然后就是这个过程对你来说就是很痛苦。就是这个时候你只能说这些话。
And many times I don't even put that into words, I just express it with my eyes.
那这个时候呢就说你只能用就是你的这个眼睛啊去关注这个对你讲话的这个人，而且其实这些东西你已经就在表达你想说的了。
Our compassion can be so healing for someone.
就是说你的这种同情已经就是一种治愈的一种方法。
One of the images that I try to keep in mind when I'm listening is the image of a plant. Like a rose bush, you know, a plant. A little green plant.
Okay.
I'll describe more, but anyway.
Okay. 神父还告诉他就是另外一种啊，就是在聆听过程中的一个方法。
When a plant or a flower is withering,
当我们不是种这个种庄稼或是种这个什么的种，不叫种地了，也不种种的这些植物啊，你当它开花了之后，那个花不是有时候会凋谢吗
？A withering flower.Does not need to be yelled at, or even it doesn't even need instructions. It really just needs water.
就是那个花啊，就是其实不是凋谢了。我们说种的，比如我们种的这个花吧，我们拿这个植物了，种的植物开花之后了，它不是有的时候翻蔫了吗？那这个过程呢，我们说的什么呢？它需要的什么呢？它不是说你重新的再给它种起来，让它长起来。这个时候只需要浇水。
And when that flower is a human being, then the water that person needs is love.
也就是说呢，我们说这个花 就是表示，比如说代表我们说人的话，那这个植物代表人的话，那这个花呢，就是代表，这个讲话的人他需要的什么呢？花代表人，那个需要的就是爱。我们讲的这个花不是需要水吗？这个水就是代表这个需要的就是爱。
When we are listening to someone who is really hurting, that person often expresses things that are angry and sometimes illogical.
当这个向你倾诉的这个人向你谈这个他自己所经历的这些个痛苦啊，或者是这个气氛啊等等，那在这个过程中很可能他的语言是非常的，就是说没有伦次的，不是说他的逻辑性很好，就是语无伦次的。
And we can be tempted to try and fix their logic or answer a question, but the most effective thing is just to love.
那这个过程呢，并不是说你觉得行了，你这个我得给你按照逻辑的方法，按照顺序给你归纳归纳吧，然后看看怎么样能够让你讲的这个话呢，听起来让别人能听得懂。但这个时候呢，不需要你做这些。你只需要的只是爱，是需要把爱给这个人。
For example, there was a priest who was speaking to me, and he was very upset about Pope Francis.
神父讲啊，就是有一位神父对他跟他就是谈话的时候，他就觉得对教宗
Francis?
Pope Francis.
他对教宗是有看法。
He was complaining about why Pope Francis said this thing and did this thing.
然后他就开始抱怨，说教宗，你看他做了这些事情，或者说了那些事情。
And I really love Pope Francis, and I can get a little bit defensive about protecting him.
因为神父非常爱教宗方济各，当这位神父就是跟神父去抱怨的时候，那当然他就觉得我愿意为教宗辩护啊。
And I was tempted to explain why he said this and why he did this and why it was a good thing.
那这个过程呢，神父就觉得我似乎呢就是有一种像诱惑一样，那我就想，就是想跟这个抱怨的人说为什么教宗这么做，为什么教宗这么说呢？就想去给他解释这些理由。
But I had a grace in that particular experience, and I thought.He needs something deeper than an explanation.
那这个时候神父觉得，我发现我自己有这个恩宠，也就是说，在这个过程中呢，当他抱怨的时候，他的背后可能有更深层次的别的原因。
And I was able to ask him, "Why is this getting you so upset?"
然后神父就问他说，为什么这样的教宗这么讲，你觉得有看法呢？或是你觉得好像这个心里就不舒服呢？
And that question made him stop and reflect for a moment.
问他了这个问题之后，那位神父就是开始就不抱怨了，然后开始就停下来想了想。
And he said, "I think the problem is that I don't feel safe with Pope Francis."
他说我呢，就是感觉呢，问题在哪儿呢？就是当教宗讲这些或是这么说的时候，我就感觉到我们不安全。
And then he was able to see that actually a deeper problem was that some things Pope Francis does really reminds him of his mother.
然后他说呢，像这样的问题呢，就是提醒我了，提醒我就想起来好像跟我妈妈有关系的事情。
And then we were able to focus on how his mother was irrational and often made him feel unsafe, unprotected.
因为他就想起来这种说法呢，他妈妈过去就是对他这个样子，而且呢，他妈妈的这种，比如说这个，说话的这个很不理性的时候呢，他就觉得他没有安全感。
And then I was able to affirm how safe he is with God and what a good priest he is.
然后神父就告诉他说，他说你看你在天主面前是这么好的一个神父，但你在天主面前当然应该有这样的安全感了，说在天主面前你就能找到安全感。
So in his sharing with me that started with accusations towards Pope Francis, he was really opening a wound.
当他把他就是这个内心的这个抱怨啊，就像一个对教宗方济各的一个控诉一样，他就像他内心的一个伤痛一样打开了。
And then I was able to pour a little bit of love into that wound.
也就是这个时候呢，那神父自己呢就似乎把这个爱倾注在他这个受伤的伤口上。
And then finally, he was in a place that he was open to understanding why Pope Francis said this thing and did this thing.
那后来就是慢慢的，就是在他们谈话的过程中，这位神父呢就能够理解了。教宗方济各为什么就是这么讲这些事情，那么做，那么对这些事情。
But he had to receive some healing in the deeper wound before he could really hear.
也就是说，他在他真正聆听别人的时候，就是能够听到别人的时候呢，也就是他内在的伤口是需要治愈的。
So I want to describe just three steps in a process of affirming, of affirmation, affirming listening.
我们在讲三步，关于就是在聆听过程中呢，你的
is of affirmation to the speaker.
That's right.
Yeah.
就说你对前来诉说的人的这个肯定。这有三点，就是三个步骤。
This is a way that we can hold a person in our hearts.
这是方法之一呢，也就是说，你把这个人就是，放在你的心里。
And we
把这个就是对你倾诉的这人啊，就是把他放在心里。
And we give the person room to grow.
给他空间成长，就是给他成长的空间。
So the first step is.Awareness of the unique goodness of this person.
那第一步呢，你就要承认或者是就肯定他的善和他的独特。
We need to know that God is with this person, and there is no other person like this person.
也就是说呢，我们要确定或是肯定天主爱这个人。而且在天主爱的这个人身上，他是独一无二的。
And the second step is to let ourselves be moved interiorly.
第二个步骤，也就是让我们自己感动，就是你内在的，就是你内心有所感动，或是被打动。
We allow ourselves to delight in this person and to be attracted to the uniqueness of this person.
也就是说呢，你对这个人跟你诉说的这个人呢，你要欣赏他的独特，同时呢，你也为他的独特感到高兴。
And this delight has to start with the person as she is.
这个高兴是什么呢？就是为了他，就是为什么呢？他就是他。就是因为这个。
Sometimes we're tempted to say, well, I would like her if she would only become like this other, different way.
那我们有一个什么样的诱惑呢？就是经常的会有什么样的，哎呀，如果她是这样这样这样的话，那该多好啊。
Imagine if you only loved a baby because you thought, well, someday the baby will be a rocket scientist.
因为我们爱一个孩子，你可能就会想，哎呀，你看，指不定哪一天这个孩子就会成为一个
the scientist.
It doesn't matter, a doctor.
对，他就会成一个在哪个方面的这个专家了，或是科学家了。
We don't love a baby because of what a baby might become. We love the baby.
其实你爱这个孩子，不是因为他将来能成为什么什么，或是成为科学家了什么。
And it's our love for the baby that helps the baby to become whatever.
也就是说呢，是因为我们爱这个孩子，所以才能够帮助他将来，比如成为一个我们说科学家也好，成为什么什么。
And then the third step is we find some way to express our interior delight.
第三个步骤。
Repeat it again. The third step.
Oh, we find some way to express our interior delight.
Okay. 我们就是找到一种方法去表达我们内心的这种就是这种高兴啊，就是为这个人，你就是你，为他感到高兴。
And this could be through body language, or through our words, our tone of voice.
这个呢，可以透过我们的肢体语言，我们的声音，以及
the body language, voice and
words.
以及我们想对他表达的话。
And this helps the speaker to feel.Our interior delight.
这个呢，就是帮助我们作为一个聆听者，包括这个什么，包括这个讲话的人，不是聆听者。我们是这个帮助讲话的人呢，他也感觉到他内在的这种高兴。
And that helps the speaker to feel her own goodness.
那也帮助他自己感觉到，哎，你看，我还挺好的呢。
So again, the first step is awareness. We have to know the goodness in the other person.
那这个我们就再 repeat.
神
父就是再重复一遍啊，就是第一步，你就要意识到这个人的独特性和他的美善。
And the second step is we allow that knowledge to move us emotionally, internally.
也就是让我们自己呢，用你的情感去就我们去就说。被这个讲话的人所打动。
And then the third step is to find a way to express that to the person.
也就是说呢，第三步就是你找到一个表达你对他内在的这个欣赏，其实就类似欣赏的这种喜乐的方法。
Pope Francis describes this in his own way in the joy of the gospel through the term accompaniment.
教宗方济各在福音的喜乐里面就是表达了这样的一个我们说这种我们就说法也好理论也好用他这种用他的独到的方法。
Maybe someone could just read this, this one.
The accompany?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here.
Just read this, somebody.
No. The first one.就是170啊，对，最上边那个，不读170啊，我看错了啊，教会就从教会必须，
教会必须启动每一人思断学会会士和平信徒进入陪伴的艺术，这教导我们在别人的圣地之前脱下鞋子，陪伴的步伐。必须是平稳和令人安心的，反映出我们的亲切接近与慈悲的注视。这注视也治愈、释放及鼓励基督徒的生活中成长。
So you can see how Pope Francis says that this is not just something for experts, but for everyone.
这就是教宗告诉我们的，说这个技巧也好啊，不是说为哪些专家所独有的，而是为每个人。
And I copied these paragraphs, and I'll put this on the website for you to reflect on.
神父已经把这些内容。都已经复制下来，然后放到网上了，你们在网上都可以查到。
It's It really says a lot of things that we have just discussed. Oops, that's not right. So I'd like to move on here a little bit. Maybe I can. Well, let's forge ahead and talk a little bit about listening is critical for building up our communities.
我们说聆听在团体建设团体也是首要的。
In fact, the word obedience in Latin has listening as the root.
在拉丁语里边，当谈到服从的时候，那它就要根植于聆听。
And so we need to learn.
或者说，它这个拉丁语的词根其实就是聆听。
We need to learn to listen first of all to God, and also to the superior, and also to our sisters.
那我们聆听，包括聆听天主、聆听会长，同时也聆听我们修会的其他的成员。
And the superior.Needs to learn to listen to God and also to the community.
那会长也需要学习聆听天主和聆听修会团体成员的。
We practice this listening in prayer, through Lectio Divina.
我们在透过祈祷，我们说这个协主读经的部分，那我们操练聆听。
As I said a little bit earlier, the one who listens well is affected, is changed by the speaker. One who listens well is also changed. It's vulnerable, and so it can be changed.
就像我们开始谈到一样，我们说好的聆听者，你可以改变，情况。
When we listen to our sisters,It changes us inside, and when we listen to God, it changes us inside.
也就是说，当你聆听你修会的姐妹的时候，你自己的这个内在的看法就会发生改变。当然了，我们说聆听天主，也就是说你的内在也会发生变化。
And this is one of the things that Pope John Paul says about Lectio.
这就是说教宗若保罗二世提到的。
Lectio. Yeah, you want to just read this?
这儿还有一段
啊，教宗若保罗二世提到的，我就直接念这一段好了。从熟悉天主的话而获得为个人和团体分辨所需的光照，帮助他们在时代讯号中找到上主的道路，如此。这些人获得一种超然的直觉，可避免与世间人的心态相混，而保持自身心境清新，能明辨天主的旨意，知道美善成全及悦乐天主之事。
One word from the gospel that we really need to.Take inside of ourselves is from the Beatitudes.
那我们说从圣经中，从福音中，需要聆听和记住的，把它记在我们心里的一个词，那就叫我们说真福。
The Beatitudes really help us to move from the mentality of the world to the super to the mentality of God.
也就是说呢，我们说在福音中提到的真福，帮助我们从世俗的角度 我们说世俗的心理去看这个世界，帮助我们从世界的角度看问题，转移到用超性的眼光看问题。
The first beatitude says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs."
那就像真福八端第一端里提到的，神贫的人是有贫穷的人是有福的，因为天国是他们的。
This is the one beatitude that says that it's already fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is theirs.
也就提到的天国已经实现了，已经是他们的。
All of the other Beatitudes use the future tense, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
因为其他的，我们说真福八端的其他的提到的，就是我们就叫将来时，那将来这些事情才发生。
So when we are poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is already ours.
也就是当我们有这样一个神贫的精神的时候，那天国已经就是我们的。
And when we are all poor in spirit, our religious communities will become the kingdom of heaven.
也就是当我们团体中的所有成员都成为一个神贫的人的话，那这个天国不就在我们团体中了吗？
We can become poor in spirit by discovering that the Father's love is our greatest treasure.
因为我们能够发觉或是叫发现啊，这个神品的意义的话，那我们能就是要应该发现，就是天主的爱已经在我们身上，这是一个最有价值的珍宝。
This is exciting and also challenging at the same time.
当然，这个对我们而言既感到兴奋，同时也感到挑战。
The problem is that we cannot control the Father's love.
因为我们不能够控制天父的爱。
We cannot earn it, and we cannot do without it.
我们不能够自己挣来，但是呢，我们没有他呢，什么都不能做。
We can only open our hearts to receive it as a gift.
所以我们只能打开自己的心去领受天主给我们的礼物。
This is what happens when we are poor in spirit.
这就是说，只有在我们有真正的神贫的精神，才可以实现。
In the parable of the prodigal son, we see two different temptations.
当我们在浪子的这个比喻中，也就是看到了两个诱惑。
The younger son wants to find happiness without the father.
那小儿子呢？他就想我找到我自己的快乐，但是呢，我不需要父亲。
He does not want to be dependent on his father. He wants to have happiness, on his own terms.
也就是说呢，我找我自己的快乐，我不需要用别人的方法告诉我。
And so he settles for various kinds of worldly pleasure, but all of them leave him dissatisfied.
也就是说，他在世界上，我们就叫说吃喝玩乐，但是这些东西呢，并不能够满足他取得快乐的心理。
This is one of the approaches that we take when we feel how poor we are in spirit.
这就是我们有时候也会想到我们在精神上有多么贫穷。
When we experience difficulties in prayer or difficulties in community, we can try to find our happiness on the outside.
当我们在团体中就感到，比如说困难的时候、挑战的时候，那我们就很有可能去团体之外去寻找我们的快乐。
We try to make our own happiness rather than waiting on the Father.
那我们可能就是找自己的快乐，用自己的方法，而不是等待天父的爱。
The older brother in the parable shows us a different temptation.
那我们说这个长子在这个故事中呢，他表现出的是另外的一种，就是像一种诱惑一样啊， 表现出另外的一种诱惑。
He tries to earn the Father's love and to control it in that way.
他呢是想赢得父的爱，而且呢，他就是想掌控这种爱。
He thinks he has the right to tell the Father how the Father is allowed to love.
也就是他认为我有这个资格去让你父亲，你的告诉我，你有多么爱我。
He feels that he has earned that right by staying at home and working hard.
因为他说我在一直在家里，同时我这么辛苦的工作，我就应该赢得这样的一个报酬。
And he is unwilling to ask the Father for the gift of a goat to sacrifice with or to enjoy with his friends.
但是他呢并不情愿。就是根本就不愿意去和父亲去要，说你给我一个，给我一只肥牛，然后我和我的朋友们一起快乐的玩一玩。
He thinks he has earned it by his hard work, but he is unwilling to simply ask for it and receive it as a gift.
他就觉得这是我辛苦劳动挣来的，我为什么还要跟你去要呢？
And this is our other temptation in community.When we think we have worked so hard and we deserve a certain kind of reward.
那这个的诱惑放在我们身上就是什么呢？当我们在辛勤的工作的时候，我们就认为你这个团体理所当然的应该给我有什么样的报酬。
We think we have worked hard and we should be able to dictate.How God loves, or even how the superior loves other members of the community.
也就是说，你因为你觉得自己工作很努力、很辛苦，所以呢，就像一个这个很独裁一样，就觉得你看，我就应该这样，我就应该获得什么什么东西。
We think that our hard work gives us the right to be the judge of others.
也就是说，因为我自己的这种工作很辛苦、很卖力气，所以说呢，我就用这样一种。就赢得了自己一种权利，我这个权利就来判断别人一样，你看你怎么怎么样。
But the fact is that the older brother is just as poor as the younger brother.
那事实上什么呢？我们再回到这比喻中来，就是这个长子和这个小的，我们叫这个荡子，他们两个其实是一样的贫穷。
Both the older brother and the younger brother are loved by the father.
那他们两个都是被父亲所爱。
But they have to learn to be humble to receive that love as a gift.
但他们两个都需要谦虚的领受来自父的爱。
The younger brother finally experienced his failure, and so he was able to receive the father's love.
那后来就是最后。这个，我们说这个荡子，他发现了自己的失败，所以他呢，慢慢的就是回到父亲那里来领受来自父的爱。
Personal failure can be one of the greatest gifts for us.
也就是说，我们个人的失败，那可能就是我们一个很好的，得到天主祝福的时刻。
Our personal failures can help us realize how poor in spirit we are.
有时候呢，也会帮助我们，我们个人的失败，你就知道了我自己是如此的可怜。
And then we are in a position to receive the kingdom of heaven.
也就是在这个过程，我们慢慢慢慢的就会学到了，我们拥有天国才是我们的财富。
The older brother also learned something when the father came out to him in the field.
当这个长子他从这个田地里回来的时候呢
？We don't know if he ever had the humility to take it to heart, though.
我们就是也根本就不知道他是不是就是有这样一个谦卑的胸怀，就是走向父亲。
He discovered that he is not in charge of the household.
那他知道的什么呢？这个家不是我掌管。
Even after all of his hard work, he does not have the right to tell the father how to give his love.
就尽管他知道他自己就说， 这么努力的工作，但是呢，他不知道怎么样赢得父的爱。
But if he would have humility, he could receive the father's love just like the younger son does.
如果他有这样一个谦卑的心怀的话，那他就会像当子一样领受父的爱。
The father tells him this by saying, "My son, I am here with you always, and everything I have is yours."
那父亲告诉他什么呢？就说我一直都和你在一起，我所有的一切都是你的。
I think these are some of the most beautiful words in the Bible.
这就是在圣经中我们就提到的，这是非常美丽的词句。
Maybe you can pray with those at some point today. My daughter, I am here with you always, and everything I have is yours.
那我们今天就是在祈祷中就可以把圣经的这一段用在我们自己身上，也就是说天父对我们说我的孩子，我和你一直都在一起，我所拥有的都是你的。
You'll find that in Luke chapter 15.
我们找到这个章节呢，是在路加福音第十五章。
That parable teaches us something amazing when we look at the younger son.
这个福音的故事呢，就是可以教导我们，我们从这个当子身上学到什么。
And even when we compare the younger son to the older son,
当我们把这个长子和这个当子做比较的时候，
the older son is very strong, and I think that he is not very attractive to us.
他这个长子啊，就是很强，很强势的，但对我们来说呢，并不是一个很有吸引力的人。
Especially because his strength is self-centered.
他的这个能力呢，或是他的这个力量，就是很是自我中心的。
On the other hand, the younger son is very weak.
那我们看，从另外一个角度看，这个当子他是看起来比较柔弱。
And in his weakness, he opens his heart to the father.
那就是在他的软弱中，他把自己的心向天父敞开。
And we learn from the Father how lovable weakness can be.
也就是说呢，我们也从这个故事中看到了，说我们的软弱在天主的眼里是非常可爱的。
One way that we already know this is when we think about babies.
就是我们用这种方法去想，你看我们去联想到这个小孩啊，就是孩子。婴儿，我们叫婴儿。
Babies are just like little bundles of weakness.
What is bundle? 我们说这个小婴儿啊，就像你襁褓里抱着那个，我不知道用英语怎么形容，就是那个小东西，就是你拿起来挺好玩的那个。
Babies have almost nothing to offer. They're just a lot of weakness.
其实他没有任何东西可贡献出来。那他所有的就是一个软弱，就是一个柔弱嘛。
And spontaneously, we just love them.
但是对于人来说，你自然而然的对这个小孩啊，我们对这个小婴儿，你就觉得哎呀，这孩子真可爱。
And the more helpless they are, the more we love them.
也就是说，他越是无助的情况下，我们越爱这个孩子。
Even when we look at animals that are weak or helpless, our hearts go out to them.
也就是当我们别说是看孩子了，就说你看到这些小的动物啊，你当他们看到这些小的动物那么软弱，那么柔弱，然后那么的无助，所以我们的心都被打动。
Maybe you have found yourself loving these cats over here.
所以我们就是在这种情况下，因为我们这看到这有猫啊，也就是当你看到这种情况的时候，看到这种猫的时候，我们的心都会被打动。
And you love them especially when they make that pathetic little cry as if they're starving.
特别是在什么时候，这个猫啊，说你看它开始就喊叫了，因为它饿了嘛，所以它就朝着你开始这样叫的时候，你的心就会被打动了。
Those are probably the best fed cats in China. The best fed. They're probably the best fed cats in China.
所以这也就是说，为什么说在中国有那么多的猫呢？因为一这样的话，我们心被打动了，然后就开始就喂啊。
But our hearts are moved by weakness, and we want to offer our strength to serve the weakness.
也就是说呢，我们被这个柔弱的，我们说或人也好啊，或是动物也好，你被他们这些打动了，所以说呢，我们就愿意用我们的这个力量，你去兼顾这些软弱的或是柔弱的。
Just to show you how lovable weakness is, I want to tell you a story about some robots.
因为就是为了和我们就神父说的，就是更详细的就说一说这个软弱或是说这个柔弱哈，它有多么可爱。那神父给大家讲一个就是机器人的这样一个故事。
There is a university close to my monastery, which is one of the best universities in the world for robotics.
这有一个大学呢，就是离他们的修会不远的地方。这是一个在世界上最好的一个叫什么建造机器人的一个地方，在这个大学里。
And they developed a robot at this university, which is very clever.
他们就是在这个学校呢，制造了一个非常聪明的机器人。
It's about 5 feet tall. It's just a kind of single column.
就是它就是单一的，就像一个柱子一样，就差不多有5英尺高。
And it has a computer screen on it, and it has a basket on top.
它在这个就是这个机器人的这个顶部啊，有一个筐，一个篮子。
It's a basket in the tall end.
Yeah, on top of it.
然后呢，它呢有一个就是像电脑一样的屏幕，这个机器人。
And you can talk to it, and it understands you.
你可以跟它讲话，它能够知道，也懂你讲什么呢。
It lives in a very big building, 6 floors, hundreds of rooms.
因为它住在一个特别大的这个就是什么，它那个建筑物里啊，建筑大楼里边，它差不多有六层高，差不多有300多个房间。
It's the office building for the robotics department.
其中就有一个呢，这个我们说叫为机器人的，他们这个系里边呢，就是专门的有一个办公室。
And one of the ways that the robot is helpful is that you can ask it to meet someone at the front door and then bring that person to my office.
然后你要是想让机器人帮助你做什么的话，你就会给他发出一个命令，你说你呢去大门口去帮我接一个人来。
And it will go all the way down to the front door and ask the person, it recognizes the face, and then lead the person all the way back up to the office.
然后他就开始从他那个办公室里啊，就下楼了，下楼就奔那个门口走去了。然后就他把他那个脸型就分辨出来之后，就带着这个人就是去回到他，就让他带的这个地方。
It's very impressive.
就是你看起来就是真是挺生动的这个画面啊。
It can also learn things.
其实它也可以学东西。
You can ask it to bring you a cup of coffee.
你可以就是要求它说，给我弄杯咖啡来。
And the first time it will say, I don't know where to find coffee.
He said that.
The robot, yeah.
然后呢，你不是跟他说给我弄杯咖啡了？他说。那咖啡在哪儿啊？他问你。
And then you tell it what room the kitchen is in.
然后你就告诉他，你说那个哪一间是厨房。
And it has a map of the building already inside of it.
因为这个在这个他们这个大楼里边不是有地图吗？
And then it will go and find the room with the coffee and bring you coffee.
那这个机器人呢，就是按照这个地图就去找。哪个房间有咖啡，他就把咖啡给你拿来了。
And now it never needs to ask for help with coffee again.
所以这样呢，就几乎他就不需要再，然后这等于是就记住了，他就不需要再问从哪里可以再弄来咖啡了。
Because it will remember where the coffee is.
也就是他已经的这个记忆就记住了，知道咖啡在哪儿，不需要再问了。
So I think we can agree that this robot is interesting and exciting.
大家可能都同意吧？我们就觉得，你看这个机器人听起来，哎呀，让人觉得哇，好激动啊！
But I don't know if you think that it's lovable yet.
啊，我们也觉得这个机器人是不是挺可爱的？
So let me tell you that it has a big weakness.
但是它也有一个很大的缺陷。
It has no arms.
它没有胳膊。
And that means that it can't press the buttons for the elevator.
这个意思就是什么呢？它不能去，比如说上电梯的话，它摁不了那个电梯的按钮。
And so when it gets to the elevator, it has to ask for help every time.
它如果是个坐电梯的话，他每一次都必须就是让人帮他。
And it has to ask someone walking by, "Will you press the elevator button for me? Will you press the sixth floor for me?"
然后他就会就是求啊，就是这个来回过路的人说你能帮我摁一下电梯吗？我要去六楼，你帮我摁一下六楼的电梯可以吗？
And it's a big building, and people are busy, and sometimes they just walk by.
因为大家想想都很忙嘛，你就是走完了，可能是你摁完了就完了吧。
And
从这就穿过去了。
Sometimes it has to ask 5, 6, 7 times.
因为他有时候啊，他得问5次，或是6次，或7次，就是请别人帮他摁电梯，摁按钮。
And sometimes it can even get stuck in the elevator.
有时候呢，它自己就是就卡到电梯里了。
It doesn't know what floor it's on, and so it depends on someone to tell it that it's on the right floor and it can get out now.
因为它不知道自己在哪一层呢，所以一直到它就是，比如说要说去6层，一直知道到那一层了，这样呢，它可能才能出来。
If it gets stuck in the elevator for too long, then it sends an email to the professor that created it.
如果他这个时间长就卡在那电梯里，不是出不来了吗？然后他不得不就这个时候就是发邮件，就给谁呢？就给那个就是制造他的那个教授。
Unfortunately, that professor or one of her students will always come to the rescue.
Who? The professor student?
Or the student.
Okay.
然后他们那些学生们呢，当然有找到厨房。但是他必须得请人帮他，说你能帮我把那个咖啡放到我那个，他不有个篮子吗？放在篮子里吗
？So, am I right that when you hear about the robot's weakness, you find it more lovable?
大家，你看什么就问大家，你说你们想想看啊，您是不是觉得这个机器人他身上有这么多有缺陷啊？是不是到没有？并不影响他的可爱呢，是不是觉得他也还是蛮可爱的
？So this is true also for human beings when we can learn to see how lovable weakness is.
这也是对我们人类来讲，这也是可以学的。就是说，当我们有缺点的时候，我们也仍然可爱。
The problem is that when we are hurt or when we feel threatened.We don't let our weakness show.
我们的问题是在什么呢？当我们受伤害的时候，或者是我们受到威胁的时候，我们不愿意把自己的软弱的这个地方显示出来。
And we cover up our weakness beneath pride and anger.
那我们把自己的这种恐惧啊，就是把它掩饰起来。掩饰起来，因为它下边我们真正的是因为什么掩饰呢？是因为我们的骄傲
，pride and
anger，
我们的骄傲和这个愤怒。
Or sometimes in fear we just withdraw and hide ourselves。
也就是说呢，因为恐惧，我们把自己就是藏起来了。
And this is why it's so important to be a good listener who can create a safe space.
这也就是说，为什么好的聆听者这么重要？因为他可以营造一个空间。
And sometimes,
营造一个安全的空间。
When we are a good listener, we can help people have courage to expose their weakness.
也就是说，我们说好的聆听者，他可以鼓励我们说，这个说话的人，他去发现他的软弱。
And then we are blessed to see how beautiful that person is.
所以，如果是这样的话，那当然我们就觉得这个，这个聆听者啊。被聆听的人他是多么的有福。
But sometimes when we only see pride and anger, we have to remember that there is a little boy or a little girl deep inside that person.
Okay.
Or a little girl deep inside who is weak.
我们当就是我们在小的时候，我们可以想一想啊，就是说我们在内心深处的，
deep inside, anger or fear.
Behind anger and fear.
Okay, 那我们就想一想，在我们小的时候，我们这个恐惧也好，我们的愤怒也好，它之后是什么？
If we can remember that there is a little girl who needs to be loved inside of a woman who is angry and proud.
也就是当一个成人，一个成年女性，比如她有这么多的这个，我们说恐惧的时候，或是生气、愤怒的时候，我们就去看看她这个背后到底是因为什么原因导致的。
This is how St. Paul could say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12.
这是圣保禄在格林多后书的第十二章里提到的。
He said, power is made perfect in weakness.
也就是说天主的能力在我们软弱的时候表现出来。
And he said, I will boast of my weakness.
也就是说他说呢，我什么？不是那个类似叫吹嘘那词，一下就想不起叫什么，夸耀的。我夸耀的是我的软弱。
Because he understood that what is most beautiful is when strength and weakness come together.
这个也让我们记得啊，当我们想想看，我们的缺点，或是我们叫我们的软弱，和我们的这个优点，这两个结合在一起的话。你看是多么美好。
What is most beautiful is when your strength can support my weakness.
也就是说，你的这个优点，或是说你的这个力量，恰恰的能够弥足我的缺陷，或是我的软弱。
Or when my strength can support your weakness.
也就是说，我的这个能力，也正好能够支持你的软弱。我们看看就是这种情况是多么美好。
And in this way, in community, strength and weakness can fit together.
也就是在团体中，也就是我们的缺点和我们的优点，是我们的优点可以就是兼顾我们的软弱。
Like puzzle pieces.
这个就像什么呢？就像我们讲的那个拼图啊。像拼图，我们不是刚才讲，就是我们的优点，你去补足别人的软弱。这就像你看拼图一样，一会儿是。
大家看得到那个
图画吗？看到啊。
You can think of our strengths as being this part of the puzzle piece.
我们就看看，就说当我们想到我们的优点的时候，就像在这个拼图里看到的一样。
And the weakness as being this part of the puzzle piece, the hole.
我们就看着这个洞啊，就是你看看那个洞，或是那个开的那个口。
And we can see how someone else's strength can fit together with our weakness.
也就是说，你看到某一个人的优点或是他的长处的时候。 那恰恰那个长处不正好是补足那个洞吗？
And when our communities all fit together, then we make the face of Christ.
那我们当我们的团体啊，就是把我们的缺点，你的优点补足他的缺点的时候，我们就看到了这是一幅基督的面孔。
These puzzles are popular in the United States. We have 1,000-piece puzzles with beautiful images that come out when you put the puzzle together.
大家看这个图画吗？就是在美国的话，就是有的这就是这样一个拼图啊，差不多有1000块，就这个小的这个叫什么？一个一个的，然后把它拼起来。你看，就这幅画就是用这种拼图拼起来的。
And you can see what happens when the puzzle has not been completed. We only get a glimpse of what it's supposed to be.
你看看，如果说这个拼图就是你还没有完成的时候，你看它这个样子是什么样？
All of our communities look like this, I think.
他说我们的团体可能大概看上去就像这个样子。
We all have a little bit of work to do to put that picture of the face of Jesus together.
所以说，如果是这样的话，那我们就有工作要做，让我们的团体经过类似就是这个拼图一样拼完了，就具有基督的容貌。
And that will never happen if we think that my strength is all that I need.
如果我们只想到我的优点，那只是我需要的。那这样的，我们说就是，如果我们的团体能够拼出一幅基督的面孔的话，是不可能的。
And it won't help if I think that my weaknesses are so severe that no one can help me.
也就是说呢，或者是另外一种看法，也就是说，你认为说我的这个缺点太我这个弱点也好，缺点也好，太严重了。谁也帮不了我。
But when we can have the courage to share our weakness and receive the strength of others, it starts to put the pieces together.
也就是说，当我们能够把自己的这个软弱能和别人分享的时候，那我们就开始在做这样一个拼图了。
This also helps us to approach God in prayer.
这也帮助我们接近天主的方法。
God wants us to bring our weaknesses to Him in prayer.
也就是说，天主一直都希望我们带着我们的软弱，在我们的祈祷中带着我们的软弱。
Jesus said to us, "Come to me, all you who labor and find life burdensome, and I will give you rest."
就像耶稣对我们说的，说你们那些劳苦和负重担的人，到我跟前来吧，我要给你们安息。
He wants us to bring our weaknesses to him, and he will give us his strength.
他呢，希望我们把我们的软弱带在他面前，然后呢，我们能够在他内安息。
And we can think of the way that Jesus was attracted to the weaknesses of so many people in the gospel.
在福音中也提到了多少次，就是耶稣去亲近的是那些软弱的人。
Jesus was attracted to the sick and the lame and the lepers.
也就是被耶稣吸引的是那些个瞎眼的、麻风病的人，以及那些瘸腿的人。
The opposite is also true that God makes himself weak so that we can love him.
当然我们从另一个角度去看的话，那天主也使得自己变成软弱的。
Jesus came to us as a helpless baby.
那耶稣来到我们中间的时候是一个婴孩的形象。
He depended on Mary and Joseph.
他依赖于他的父母。
And he did this again as an adult in his passion. Became helpless as an adult in the passion.
他呢，让自己变成一个无助的人。那这个时候呢，他就需要成人对他的帮助和关怀。
He needed the help of Simeon and Veronica.
也就是说，在圣殿中的时候，他需要西摩央的帮助。
He needed the support of John and Mary and the other women.
也说需要那些妇女们、若望以及他们的帮助。
And God makes Himself helpless in our tabernacles.
那天主呢，让他自己变得无助，就是你看我们在这个圣龛中，我们看看天主也是变得无助了。
He waits for us and he longs for our attention.
他等待着我们，他也渴望着我们对他的关注。
So it is good for us to come before him in prayer and show him our weaknesses.
其实对我们来说呢，也就是在祈祷中，我们去面对天主，也把我们的软弱呈现在他面前。
And also when we go to prayer to remember his weaknesses.
当我们就是把我们软弱带到天主面前的时候，也让我们意识到，在这个时候的天主也是软弱的。
In prayer and in community, it's so valuable when we can understand this, the way that weakness and strength fit together.
也就是在团体的祈祷中，它的价值所在就是我们彼此能够兼顾我们的软弱。
St. Paul summarizes this by saying, Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
那就像圣保禄所总结的一样，就说你担负别人的担子，那我们这个就是满全了天主的爱。
One of the questions that I received was, well, you could read it, I guess. The easiest thing.
这有一个问题啊。
I think it's not this one. We have already answered this question.
No, I don't think so. This is about the sister that's disturbed in community.
This one?
Yeah.
我不记得这个问题我们是不是回答了，说我们有的修女像小蜜蜂一样，更像刺猬，动不动就乱蛰人，好坏不分。这个问题回答了吗？
没有
啊。 OK,
You're right.
让人无法接近，甚至是害怕。她是心理有问题吗？要怎么帮助她呢？性格也古怪，易怒，久而久之也就影响了其他人，易发火，让人压抑啊，该怎么办呢？院长也为此头疼啊。
And I think every community has a sister like that.
每个团体都有这样的人。
Sometimes we can really help the sister in the way that we just described with strength and weakness.
当然就是说我们帮助她呢，就可以用刚才我们讲到的，说用我们的这个优点去补足她的缺点。
Sometimes a sister like that just needs someone to support her, to listen to her.
有时候呢，就是这样的情况，她需要有人去支持她。去
support and
listen.
去支持他，去聆听他。
Even when she seems very crazy, sometimes a little bit of love makes a big difference.
当然，我们有时候会看到这个人就是那个样子，真是啊，挺极端的。但是，如果说我们有更多的爱，可能情况就变得不同了。
In other times, a sister like that might need some kind of professional help.
像这种情况啊，也有另外一个方法，也就是她有可能需要一种，我们就是需要专业人员的帮助。
I'm not sure if psychology is quite as widely used in China as it is in the United States.
当然这个呢就是在美国的话你比如说从心理学家的心理学的角度或是我们求心理学家的帮助这个是非常普遍的那在这个问题上呢神父就是因为不确定在中国是不是有问题的人就去看心理医生
But a psychologist and psychological medication can be tremendously helpful with somebody who's very disturbed.
如果这样一个非常就是对别人就是有这么多的干扰的这样一个人，如果从心理学的，就是我们说心理学家给他这种方法啊，是非常有帮助的。
Sometimes what people do is also just send that sister to the priest.
有的做法就是什么呢？这个人不是比较麻烦呢？说干脆得带着神父，带着这个修女，你去找神父去吧。
Sometimes I think people have the idea that the priests have all the answers.
可能有些人就认为神父对这样的事情会有答案。
In any event, if the sister is really violating the constitutions and she is a serious problem for the community, then it's also possible to have her removed.
当然，如果这个人有严重的违反修会的会规这样的问题的话，那如果是这种情况的话，那就可以把他从修院，就是让他走，让他离开修会。
So that's a very extreme measure, and for you, that would have to go through the bishop. But anyway, it's theoretically possible.
当然，这是一个最极端的方法。这个方法呢，就是我们需要去和主教去商讨。
But some things that I like to think of with monks who are very difficult are to think about how God loves that monk.
这个方法另外一个方法也就告诉我们什么呢当你发现就是这样一个非常难非常就是麻烦的这样一个人啊这样的人怎么办呢你就觉得他也是被天主所爱的人
And many times somebody who is acting in a crazy way is really hurting deep inside
就是这个人如果他的那个表现方式就是一种能疯疯癫癫的那个样子的话他可能他内在有别的问题
That crazy behavior is a defense mechanism to cover up some wounds
所以他这种就是疯癫的就是我们说这个疯的状态啊就是有一点那种极端的这种方法表达他自己的话他可能是在掩盖他内心的一些问题
The defense mechanisms are usually a little ugly.
Pardon me?
The defense mechanisms are usually ugly, but the wounds are lovable.
当然我们说的他这种表现方式啊就是让人感觉啊就是挺无法接受就是挺丑陋的但是呢他这个内心受到的这个伤这个并不是丑陋的就说这个伤还是应该我们去爱的我们应该爱的是这个伤而不是他的这种表现方式这个这么讲大家觉得可以吗这种理解啊
maybe we just make a little comment about that question
just finish it finish this
This one, yeah, I think.
Okay. 这个刚才念的这问题就算回答完了啊。
这个是
另外的一个问题啊。说我们的修会好几年没有新成员，团体和个人应该反省什么？
I think we've made a couple of comments about things that attract vocations.
因为我们也谈了一部分啊，就是关于我们团体的吸引力的问题。
The most important thing for vocations, of course, is God's call.
那当然，我们说圣召是天主的召教。
But we also need to do our part to help with God's call.
我们应该做的什么呢？我们就应该 做我们应该做的，让天主的这个召唤，成长。
And as we said earlier, our communities should be a real school for spirituality.
也就是像神父开始的时候说的，我们的团体就是应该成为一个灵修的学校。
If our communities are just the same as some other social welfare organization, why would a young woman want to join?
假如我们的团体就像一个社会的某些一个机构一样，那你说我们怎么能够吸引年轻的圣召来呢？也就是说，我年轻的人，我为什么加入你们这样一个跟社会上没有任何不同的一个团体呢？
It must beobvious that God is in the center of our communities and that he is loved and worshipped.
也就是说呢，让我们的团体成为一个以敬爱天主和爱天主为中心的这样一个团体，那这样呢，你才会吸引人来到我们中间。
And that the members of the community are also pursuing him and trying to grow in holiness.
也就是说呢，我们每一位团体的成员都去，我们追寻的什么呢？我们是追寻天主，然后尽力去找到爱天主的方法。
As it said also in the Acts of the Apostles, they recognize that we are Christians by our love.
就像宗徒大使录里边提到的，就说。我们被别人认出来是基督徒，是因为我们团体中的爱。
Our communities should be real places of love.
也就是说，我们的团体就是应该成为一个爱的地方，或是有爱的地方。
If we only have if our communities are just a group of angry women, why would anyone want to join?
假如我们这个团体都是一群那种我们说的叫什么一群怨妇的话，谁来加入这个团体？
Or if it is just a number of women living on their own and doing their own thing, then why would anyone want to join?
那或者是说，假如我们都是以自我的都是 个体户，我们就都是独立大队的话，那为什么这些外边的人来加入？你们就也就是说，我们每一个人都以自己的生活方式去生活。那外边的人，我为什么加入这样一个团体呢？
And then another thing is something we said yesterday about the willingness to welcome new members.
然后还有一个就是呢，像昨天我们提到的，也就是我们心甘情愿的去欢迎那些新人加入我们。
It requires a sacrifice to make room for new sisters.
也就是说我们需要为新成员的加入做一点牺牲。
It took all of us a number of years to get to the point in faith and religious life that we're in now.
当然这个是需要时间，我们能够达到一个修会团体所需要的一个氛围。
When new members come to join us, they have rough edges, and they also need some time to be purified.
Rough edges, the edges.
Edges, yeah.
就是我们说这个新的成员加入的话，因为毕竟就是意思就是他们来的时候很年轻，可能在这个年龄段呢，就是有一点那种叫比较动荡啊，这个是需要时间的。
Rough edges, we need to patient.
Yes.
也就是说，对，比如说我们新的成员加入，在他们的年龄阶段，可能有一些动荡啊，或者我们叫一点浮躁啊。那这个呢，是对我们的老的成员来讲，你们对他们要有信心，要有耐心。
One of the seminary formators was telling me about some of the seminarians.
当有一个就是修道院的神师啊，就是一个培育者。去讲这个类似的故事，跟神父讲类似的故事的时候
，He said some of them grow up as the only child, and they're very selfish.
神父就说你看这些修生们啊， 他们的成长就是特别自我中心的。
He said other ones that grew up in the rural places have some siblings, but they're not well educated.
就是说他们有些人呢是在这个就是非常偏远的地方长大的，家里呢有兄弟姐妹。
What is the siblings?
他们的这个兄弟姐妹几乎就是没有什么受过什么教育。
In both cases, it takes time and energy and love.
所以就是像我刚才神父提到的这两种情形啊，像这种情况，我们说是都需要爱的。
We have to be.
他们需要爱和被爱，需要被爱的。
We have to reflect whether we are taking that time and love and energy to receive new members in our communities.
也就是说呢，我们要想想我们自己是不是在这个上边，我们花费了时间和精力。来接受这些新的成员。
So those are just a few thoughts that I have about a reflection for those who are not receiving vocations.
这就是神父说呢，就是有这样一个想法，就是我们刚才不是问了吗？说我们没有新的圣召。
And I want to also make clear, I know some communities that are very beautiful and good in many ways and are not receiving vocations.
当然神父就是也跟大家讲啊，说有的团体无论他们做什么事情都很好，但是呢他们也没有新的圣召。
But even in those cases, it's good for those sisters to reflect on how they can grow in holiness.
也就是说尽管他们做得很好，这就是说没有新的圣召也会帮助他们去思考怎么样成长，同时呢就是走向圣善。
So, I think it's time for us to stop and pray midday prayer.
现在就是我们